The 13th of October is International Day for Natural Disaster Reduction. The theme for this year is My City is Getting Ready, which aims to highlight the importance of protecting cities from natural disasters. We spoke to Christian Aid's Senior Policy Officer on Building Disaster Resilient Communities, Catherine Nightingale, about the agency's work in this area.
Well, as you know, the 13th of October is Global Disasters Day, and what we're trying to do this year is highlight the importance of building disaster resilience and reducing the risk of disasters in the communities most vulnerable. If you think about this year, we've seen quite significant disasters being felt and seen around the world, whether that's in Haiti or in Pakistan or earlier this year in Cyclone Layla in India and across the board. And what we see in the course of our work with the poorest and most vulnerable communities is that they are the people hit hardest and hit furthest by these kinds of disasters. So more than ever on this day, when it's so important to remember the people who are affected, who lose loved ones, whose lives are changed forever, that we actually think about what can we do in the future to reduce that risk of it happening again, or rather, what can we do to reduce the risk that when it does happen, because we know it probably will more so. What can we do to work with communities to reduce the impact so that they can return to their lives and return to their livelihoods?
Do you think there's been more global awareness towards natural disasters since the tsunami? I know we've had the earthquake in China, we've had this year the terrible floods in Pakistan. Is there an increasing awareness of natural disasters and ways to try and reduce the risk of them?
I think certainly in the course of our work, we're seeing greater awareness and in the public. We've got a globalized world, which means that people often are able to see through quite clear pictures, able to understand through journalists and radio broadcasts and through podcasts and various different means of communication. They can see much better now and feel perhaps much more realistically the impact that those disasters is having on those communities around the world. And I think as human beings, we are moved by that, and we are moved to try and challenge and try and ensure that that doesn't, you know, happen again, or that efforts are made to reduce that. So I do feel that whether that's, you know, I think that was happening prior to big global disasters like the tsunami, but I think more and more we're seeing global media and the globalization of the world and the community kind of playing out in people's lives, so that people here in Europe might feel very much sympathy, might understand, might themselves want to do something quite concrete to help those communities and reduce that risk. I guess as well, I mean, something that we're seeing more so is that extreme weather events are playing out across the globe. I mean, I think we've seen also the impacts of Hurricane Katrina in the US. We've seen impacts of severe sort of extreme weather events in Europe and the impact that they play. I know in the UK we've had, you know, flooding and communities being affected. And whilst that's very little really in comparison to the big disasters that we see, you know, where hundreds and thousands and millions of lives are affected, still I think it reminds people at home that these are things that affect everybody, every human being, and that when communities are affected, this is it's something that, to a certain extent, I think that joins them, that brings sort of quite a lot of sympathy and understanding between those communities.
Is it fair to blame some natural disasters on climate change, or is that a fair comment?
I mean, what you're seeing from the UNIPCC, and what we're seeing is that climate change is changing the frequency and the severity of certain kinds of extreme weather events. So in that sense, what we see in reports coming from the global experts on climate change is changing tendencies and increases in the amount of rainfall and the kinds of rainfall and other temperatures of heat and cold. And in that sense, there are changes happening. What is very difficult to do, and what I think it would be very, foolish to do at this stage, is to point to any single one, you know, extreme weather event and be able to say very clearly that that is the result of climate change. And I think that's something that we in the disaster sort of management community need to remember, that we are working with communities that are feeling the everyday effects of increased severity and frequency of rainfall. So they are feeling in that way the impacts of climate change. But we just need to be careful that we don't point to any specific event until we're absolutely clear and we can say that that's the cause of climate change. But what it has meant, and something that it kind of brings me round to saying really, is that as the disaster management community and as humanitarian development actors, we do have to start working and supporting communities to build up their resilience to extreme weather events, because we are seeing this change happening on the ground. So we do need to incorporate climate change and the impacts of climate change into our thinking around how we work with communities at risk of disaster. So one thing that we're doing tomorrow as part of Global Disasters Day is launching what we've called the Climate Smart Disaster Risk Management Approach, that's come after a year's work with research experts like the International Development Studies, the Institute of Development Studies in the University of Sussex, with Plan International and with ChristianAid. We've been working to look at the impact of climate change on disaster management and how we need to integrate those considerations more to be able to reduce those risks.
Catherine, I wonder if you could talk to us about some of the countries that ChristianAid is working in and working with the local communities with regard to preparation, with regard to raising awareness, with regard to prevention of natural disasters.
Sure. Well, I mean, over the last 5 years, ChristianAid's work in this area has developed. I mean, I think we've been doing this as long as ChristianAid has been doing humanitarian work, for over decades now. But particularly in the last 5 years, we've been building up our work with communities as part of a project called the Building Disaster Resilient Communities Project. And that's a project that's worked in 6 countries around the globe and really focused down on delivering and supporting communities to achieve real change. Some of the countries we worked in included Malawi, El Salvador, the Philippines, Honduras, Bangladesh, and the Sahel, so the Burkina Faso, sort of Saharan Sahel region. And through work in those different countries, we've worked with communities in different ways, depending on the context. So if I think of taking an example perhaps from Malawi, we've got the Machemba village in Malawi, was where the community got together with ChristianAid partner and went through a process of working with the community leaders to identify themselves. What are the risks? What are the disasters that they're facing on a regular basis? What are the risks to their lives in a very practical way? And what they identified through that process was that increasing levels of drought that get to very extreme kind of levels have had a big sort of growing disaster impact on their lives. And every year, people are seeing hunger and malnutrition on significant levels. So by identifying that risk and going through a process of identifying that risk, they were also able to identify what capacity the community had to address that and what additional support and capacity they needed from other organizations and through ChristianAid. So there was a desire identified to look at how they were farming in a way that could be less rainwater intensive. How could they farm in a way that reserved water over a longer period? And how also could they use strengths that they grain storage and things that they stored up or built up over time? How could they manage particular credit schemes to keep those stores going through the lean periods? What early warning systems could they use to identify when that would be really, when those stores were really low? That's just one example. I guess another example in El Salvador was around the importance of doing, not just doing local community work, building and working with the community to identify the flood risks, helping. This was in a particular community in El Salvador, which was on the edge of the lower Lempa River, and the community themselves identified increased flooding as a continuing and growing risk to their livelihoods and to their families and homes. So they decided there was two areas they wanted to focus their work on, and they wanted Christian Aid to support them to do that. One was in terms of changing the way that they were farming and working around the riverbank to ensure that they were able to kind of build up those flood prevention, flood barrier systems. And the other was they wanted help to go and speak with the local authority, the local government, whose responsibility it was to drain the river and dredge it, which would itself kind of reduce the risk of flooding. So they were asking for support to help them strengthen that communication with the local government, who themselves were able then to come down and do that clearing process and reduce the risk of the flooding from essentially a kind of over-built-up silt in the river. So we've seen some really interesting examples over the few years in which this combination of working with the communities for themselves to identify what the risks are and also what the capacity the community has already to address that. And in doing so, they're able to identify where the gaps might be that they would like additional support or additional expertise. And then Christian Aid and Christian Aid's partners can help support them to do that. And in that way, it's also about empowering those communities to address those disaster risks themselves, rather than waiting for a disaster to happen and then handing out, you know, in a way, responses to that. It's about trying to really strengthen the empowerment of those communities through this process.
Do you find it of enormous benefit to have days like this where you can just highlight a particular cause?
Oh, I think so. I mean, around the world, people will be thinking together in different ways and in different moments of not only the significant impact that we're seeing disasters having on people's lives, but hopefully maybe they'll remember the people that they've lost, maybe they'll remember some of the impacts that they themselves have experienced. But for people sat in offices or perhaps sat far away from some of those disasters, it's an amazing moment to remember what we're doing and why we're doing it. And it's also amazing and important moment to remind sort of the donor community and some of the bigger, sort of more powerful governments and the international community that this is something that isn't going away, and it's something that we need to be working harder on, we need to be concentrating efforts on. So having a day like the Global Disasters Day, when we can challenge ourselves, we can remind ourselves of the people that have been affected and the lives that have been changed because of disasters, and we remind ourselves that we can do something to address that. We can reduce the risk that those disasters will have the kind of impacts they have. And actually, that's something, quite a positive story to be telling on a day that's remembering the importance of the people that we might have lost.